Hey, this is Winfrey, and I welcome you to another Monday night of our conference call, which is an experiment in what I call interdimensional communications. And we're doing a conference call that we've been doing over the telephone for about a year and a half. And if you're checking in for the first time or listening over the internet, I recommend that you write this down. Get your pencil and papers out, and I'm going to give you a website that has a lot of backup information that if you find this interesting, you will want to learn about. The website is higher-vision.org, and on the website is documented the story of what I call my own personal experience of interdimensional communications. And this conference line is an experiment to spread this experience out amongst other people. And we've been doing it over the telephone for, I guess, about 14 months now, perhaps longer. And for the past few weeks, we've been taking our actual telephone call and putting it live over BBS radio, thanks to the graciousness of Don Newsom, the founder of BBS. So, right at this moment, we have people checking in from all over the country, and I'm going to go back to opening up the interchange and allowing those people that haven't said anything to identify themselves. So, my name is Lynn. I'm the moderator. Is there anyone else that has identified themselves?
Hi,
yes.
This
is Dee from North Carolina.
Dee from North Carolina. Hi, Dee.
Hi, Wig.
And who else is on there?
Gary and Marianne San Diego.
Gary and Marianne.
Terry from La Cunada.
Terry from La Cunada. Anyone else?
Kathy from Tennessee.
Jackie?
Yes.
Oh, Kathy from Tennessee.
Yes.
I thought I knew the voice. It sounded like a strange thing. Okay. Anyone else? On there. My name is Wynn. I'm the moderator tonight. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, Wynn. This is Anna in Berkeley.
Hi, Anna. Okay.
Did you get Jeff?
Jeff. No, I didn't. That's Jeff in Northridge, right?
Yeah, I'm back here. Hello.
Hi, Jeff. Anyone else?
Wesley from Mountain View.
Wesley. Hi, Wesley.
Hey, Wynn.
How about Diane?
Yeah, I'm already here. And I heard Samuel from Phoenix is on, too.
Samuel?
Yep.
Hi, Samuel.
Hi.
I'm going to be in Phoenix tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
I'll wave to you from the airport.
Okay.
Let's see. A couple days ago, I was waving to Suzanne down the superhighway going to Cholo, Arizona. Anyone else on? That's it. Okay. Super. Let me mute you all. Okay. Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that you're on. I started to talk a little bit about what we do on this line, and I assume that we have a lot of humans listening, both on the line and over BBS radio. And many of you are having an experience that being human is a little bit tough in these times. And that on one side, there's reasons for fear, anxiety, things are breaking down. Relationships can be hard. And on the other side, there's many of you that are discovering that there's a new energy presence and new possibilities, and that you're suddenly on a speed train of growth. And one of the things I'd like to talk about is why this is happening and how, if you are in that place where things are disassembled and difficult, you might be able to shift. Now, the kind of information that I bring forth on this line, some of it comes through on my own levels of understanding and wisdom. And others of information has come through as a result of conversations I've had with sources and intelligences on the other side of the veil. And this is where, when you hear this, I would recommend anyone that's listening for the first time, please don't believe me. If there's things that you don't validate for yourself personally, don't believe it, but please go and study our website. Study how this information came. Anyone who chooses to look will find that there are people all over the entire world right now that are getting messages, that somebody somewhere is attempting to communicate to humankind, and they're doing it through this process where they can telepathically connect with the human. Now, when somebody has a telepathic connection through other dimensions, that does not necessarily mean it's positive. So any communication that comes in this manner has to be individually scrutinized, and including my own, particularly my own. I don't say any of this is to be accepted blindly, and it's an invitation to consider it and to see if it makes sense for you. The way this communication started for me was via personal relationships that it started with when I began writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I was studying for a couple of years this circumstance of an individual by the name of David Wilcox, who I became convinced was Edgar Cayce reincarnated, and that there was a voice coming through him that identified itself as a social memory complex or group soul, and that was explaining something that was going on our planet right now that was far beyond my ability to consciously validate. But I could validate that this person was Edgar Cayce. So I said, if he was Edgar Cayce, who was America's most famous psychic prophet, maybe the information that was coming through him was accurate. And then I had a circumstance where people that were involved with me in a personal way suddenly started channeling. This was 2 years into writing the book. And I was invited to ask questions, and I was getting answers from a voice that identified itself as the Council of Elohim. And when I looked up the word Elohim, it said the creator God of this realm, the God of the Old Testament, and I asked them if this was the same, and they said it was. Now, I wasn't quite sure I believed it, but what I did do is I kept asking questions, and I recorded everything, and I said, I will decide over time if I think I can trust this. In the meantime, I'll keep a record of everything. And so this began in April of 2002, and has been continuing up to the present. And at this moment, my predisposition is to believe that I am talking to to who they say they are. And I had the challenge of saying, how do I put this into the world? If this is real, this is information that people thought were going to find very important. But not only that, these energies were open to connecting personally with people, and that if I could open the door, they would walk through. I would give personal lectures at different expos, and when I did this, all this, what I've learned to call light energy, came into the room. And people would walk up to me after my talk and say, I've never experienced so much light in the room. And I didn't really do anything. I just sat up there and talked, and something would happen. And, of course, since I was channeling and I could ask questions, I said, can you explain that to me? And they said, well, they were there in the room. And when I gave a talk, they would accompany me, and they would touch the people that were in the room that were open to being touched. So I asked myself, how can I use this to reach more people? And I had the idea of doing a conference call where people could call up on the phone and we would read a channeling. Occasionally we've done a live channeling. And I asked them if they would be on the phone line during this call, and if they would be willing to touch or reach the people who were open to having that kind of experience. And again, they said they would do that. And so we started doing the calls about over a year ago, and started out with a small group of people, and people started having little miracles, started having various phenomena. And when I asked questions, the Elohim said that was them. Yes, they were working with that person, or they did this. So we're making the postulate that right now they are on this call, and they're listening to me, and they're paying attention to you wherever you are in your own private state. Now, they're not going to violate your free will. So if the idea of being paid attention to is scary, they will just bypass you. This is something you have to be open to have the experience. And so you can listen neutrally. You can say, okay, I'm open to having the experience, and just see what happens, and consider it an experiment. The way the Elohim works is they're a group energy. Now, each of us, as a human, exists as more than a body. Some of you are aware of this. You exist as a energy that's multidimensional. But there is a veil that blocks you from experiencing this energy directly, for most humans. And so there's an area of faith, perhaps, at least at the beginning, that says, where you ask for the openness that maybe this is possible, since it's not something you experience with your senses. So I'd like to ask you to consider that maybe that is possible, and right now you are in another dimension. Part of you, as is everyone on this line. And one of the things about the part of us that's in other dimensions is that it's fluid. It is not fixed. Our bodies are fixed. Our bodies are limited. Our bodies are rigid. But our soul energies, our spiritual energy, is amorphous. It can expand and contract. When we're afraid, we contract. When we're in love and in compassion and openness, we expand. Now, when we expand, we can actually touch each other. We can touch into the space on the other side of other beings. And right now, we have beings on this line that are in this other space, and we can touch each other. You don't have to get to know me. You don't have to get to know anyone on the line. You just have to be open to the possibility that you can touch someone else. Now, when you touch someone else, it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to see them or know what's happening. Although there are manifestations that one can feel when one expands into the space of others. And there's an upliftment. There is sometimes goosebumps. We all have had the experience of expanding into each other's spaces in our lives. If you've ever attended a movie and the audience became one, there was one energy that was in that movie or that music concert that everyone partook of. And when they walk out, they look at each other, and in that moment, there is a recognition of everyone having been in the same psychic space. Now, of course, there you had the physical bodies and the eye contact. Here we don't. Here we are just strange bodies in our bedrooms, in our living rooms, in our kitchens, in our cars. And yet, in this moment, if you're open to it, we're asking you to consider the possibility that you can reach other souls. And as we reach each other, we create a group energy. And this is something that you can freely move in and out of. This is not something you're bound to. It's a free will choice. And we ask that all this be done in what I could call the Christ of light, or the highest good of all concerns. And as we experience this group energy, we've learned that in these other dimensions, there's also very positive group energies, which are group souls, who are in advanced forms of us. And the two group souls who we have become familiar with have identified themselves as the Ra group and the Elohim group. And they can join with our group energy, and we can make intentions or prayers. Prayers are just a form of intention. And if our intentions are for the highest good of all concerns, they will add to our energy and help those things manifest. So part of the reason we've been doing these calls is to create a group intention that we combine with the Elohim and Ra to create certain planetary healings, certain energy expansions into areas where there is war, where there is hatred. And we try to create an intention and an energy that is larger than those negative intentions. We also create intentions for healing for ourselves and those people that we care about. And when we do this, it can become very powerful as a group, particularly when we have those energies added of the group souls. Now, of course, again, how do you know there's group souls? You don't. At this point now, you just hear me talking. Some of you that have been around this and checking in for a long time have come to the conclusion that what I'm saying is accurate and that there is something happening on this line that is unusual and positive. So if you're not having any of that experience, but you think it might be possible, please, again, check out the website, higher-vision.org, and you can read and hear some of these channelings, or read my book, in fact, do both, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, because the information that's coming through is, if it's true, is going to impact your life over the next few years and explain things that you may have difficulty understanding without this particular information. Now, the information is coming through not just me, it's coming through many, many people. And what the information is essentially is that our planet is at the end of a 75,000-year cycle, and it's going through what's called a dimensional shift. And that means that the planet, the consciousness of planet Earth, is lifting from third chakra to fourth chakra. And this lifting and transformation is causing, on one level, quite a bit of chaos. It's causing earth changes. It's causing weather changes. And it's also causing a greater potential for loving energy than has ever been present in the history of mankind. Now, what is being explained is that as the planet goes through this upliftment, there's going to be a division of souls. Those who are basically have their heart chakras open, slightly more than 51%, or those that don't. Basically, it's kind of like a graduation. And having your heart chakra open is your mark of having graduated. If you have not learned how to do that, what they're saying is that you can't graduate right now. You have to go through school again. And that the way it works is, since the whole planet is graduating, you can't go through third chakra evolution on this planet. And so you end up getting moved to another planet in another star system to start over the lessons that you didn't learn this particular lifetime. Now, is this true? I certainly can't prove that. I can only tell you that as I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, this is what was being brought forth by the group entity that David Wilcock was channeling. And then when I started having my own personal experiences of this kind of interchange, and I asked questions, the exact same information was brought forth. Now, these group souls are explaining that they are available to work with us, that we can connect with them, and that we can feel them in our space. They can help give us guidance. For some people, the guidance comes in as light love energy. For some, it comes in as dream messages, where they're actually getting wisdom, verbal wisdom in their dreams. For others, it just comes in as a feeling. And that I hope that by doing these calls, that I give more people the opportunity not just to hear this information, but to actually reach for these kinds of connections and have them for themselves. So one of the things as part of these calls is to share an actual channeling. And we have a group of questions and answers, which I call questions and answers with the Elohim, that was channeled by Terry Brown. And this is about 80 pages of what some people have said is one of the most profound perspectives on the human condition that they've ever been exposed to. And from the Elohim's point, they say they are bringing forth understanding for the way things work in a way and with more clarity than has ever been brought forward on this planet. So, with that as an introduction, I'm going to read a little section of these questions and answers on the chapter called Prayers and Miracles. Again, you can get the 70 pages for free at the higher-vision.org website in the free download section. So how does prayer work? Elohim. Prayer is effective to the degree of intention of the individual making the prayer. Since form and life are held together by intentions, prayer may intersect those intentions and reinforce those intentions towards life and healing. In this manner, a black witch's prayer, a prayer from a service to self-source with the intent of control, i.e. a curse, may also affect the intentions holding life together and create a destructive influence. The degree of passion behind the prayer, the degree of intention behind the prayer, is directly proportionate to the degree of effectiveness of the prayer. This is because form, subform, and precursor forms are based on the intentions and can be affected by other intentions. When does a human tap into their sub-god abilities to create from their higher realm? When they successfully pray, are the prayers connected with other entities and groups that participate in the execution of the desired result? I'm just going to explain that question. Since each of us is essentially has the ability to create from very high levels, I was asking when we pray, how that works. Are we strong enough in ourselves to cause something to happen? Or are our prayers answered by groups or entities outside of ourselves? Elohim. When a person prays, he is tapping into his sub-god abilities for creation with intention. When he prays for the assistance of a creator god, such as the Elohim, he has great intense power and wisdom. Beyond his belief to his prayer, he gives his prayer wings. If a person prays a black witch harmful prayer, he may not get much assistance in the fruition of his prayer. It boils down to mathematical equations, with the variables being the passion that he prays with, the power of his intention, the joining of other humans in consensus reality into backing or non-backing of the prayer, and the assistance of the Elohim or Ra or other high force in bringing about the successful result of the prayer. In other words, this is me just commenting that if we're praying for something service to self, in other words, I hope that somebody loves me, or I hope I have something, I hope I can control someone to do something, that is a controlling prayer, not necessarily for the highest good of all concerned. And, of course, it still works, and there are groups, and there's, you know, circles, and there's people that will use that ability of a human to try to create things for themselves. But they won't get the assistance of the group souls, which are positive. They have to do it with their own small energies. When a person prays, are they creating anchor points in energy in the same way the Elohim create anchor points in energy, so that on some level something can happen, originating from another level and manifest into this level? Elohim. When a man prays, he usually prays for an object or individual person that is an anchor point to him. If he prays for something less tangible, like peace, then his anchor points are more loosely available to attach to the object of his prayer. The man is within time and space and location. The man is within anchor points already. The Elohim are outside of time and location and can project anchor points into time and location. Therefore, the Elohim can create miracles because they are working with the whole of the materials of which creation is made. The man is working within the creation from the materials that have been previously made. The man may change his attitude or the materials he is working with by the nature of his intention. As the man changes his intention, so will creation work with him to help fulfill what he is creating. Therefore, at a lower level, he is affecting creation within the confines of his universe. Since he orients himself in his universe by his anchor points, he is subject to those anchor points. The Elohim is not subject to anchor points, but they can work with them as building blocks or particles or non-particles. The Elohim are creators. The man is more of a builder. Do you have further questions? When the Elohim makes an anchor point to make some kind of original creation, the anchor point is not made of torsion wave radiation or etheric energy. Is the anchor point just part of the intention, that it's really nothing, that the intention exists and energy fills the intention? Is that a way of perceiving it? Elohim. The intention creates the boundary of which further intentions of spinningness may be bounded by. In other words, the anchor points are unseen extents of the intention within which the spinningness may occur in. Now, just to make an explanation, when we take ourselves out of time and space, which of course we're all in, we have nothing. Nothingness, with the slightest bit of intention, becomes something. The Elohim exists at that place on the border of nothingness and somethingness. And with the intentions, this is Wynn talking, so I may not be getting this exactly right, but their intentions create, are the beginning of time and space, which projects out from them, ultimately, into the reality that we're existing in right now. So, we're having this conversation with the Elohim, and I said, might there be a correlation between anchor points and the word vision? Elohim, yes, in the sense that a vision is a projection. When? It's something that needs to be filled with energy in order to manifest. Elohim, we're getting into the hard work aspect of something when we say needs. The creation of Elohim is a flash projection that manifests instantly. When? a human does something similar when they have a vision. Of course, it is hard work on the physical realm in most cases to make a vision manifest. Elohim, a vision isn't necessarily hard work, even on the physical realm, but it may be hard work. When? But on the Elohim realm, it isn't hard work to create a vision which creates an outline for something to manifest as it's filled with energy. Does that happen effortlessly and quickly? Elohim, flash, it's a joy. It's like an artist at work. When? So could you create an orb in our room like a flash? Win comment here. An orb is a round energy ball that is supposedly a manifestation of the interdimensional energy in the physical realm. So Elohim answered and said, Ra is more the creator of orbs. Who you are talking to now has a very large space. When? I felt the space change in the room when I made the request. Elohim, there was an invisible orb that appeared in the room, but it was so large it encompassed the whole room. That's what you felt. Those of you who are listening might imagine that there's a circle of light in your room right at this moment, and that there's an intelligence that's projecting that into your space, if you permit it. When I felt the space change in the room when I made the request. Elohim, there was an invisible orb that appeared in the room, but it was so large it encompassed the whole room. That's what you felt. When it's still here changing the energy in the space. Elohim, yes it is. When, how large is that space? It's a space over your house, extending outside of your walls and into the sky. When I asked the Elohim to help my sister, and she had that healing, and comment, my sister had cancer and lupus, and I made a request, and the cancer disappeared and the lupus disappeared shortly afterwards. How did the Elohim implement that energetically? First of all, we had to change the factors in her blood. Second of all, you had to cheer her up to allow the changes to occur. And the job is only part way to where she would have glowing health. When? You mean that's a possibility? Elohim, yes. What would she have to do to have glowing health? Better interactions, change her diet, more raw food. We do not see her changing without some help, some cheerful calls, and some change of attitude on her part. When? So when you changed the blood, did you move into the space of the blood with anchor points and microscopically transform the situation? Elohim, yes, like a great filter, releasing it from her blood. When? Was that an easy process for you to do? Elohim, yes. So that could be done for others also that have infirmities? Elohim, different procedures are for different people, different infirmities. Okay, I'm going to read of that particular channeling on prayers. Those of you know who are members of the Dimensional Shift Yahoo group, which you can check into, we send these things out over email, and you're welcome to sign up, and you'll receive the full chapter, which is also available as a free download on highervision.org. And right now, I have Terry Brown, who is the person that channels that particular segment, on the line. Are you on, Terry?
Yes, I am.
Good. Making sure you're on. What's it like for you when I ask questions and they answer?
Well, the first thing is a lot of times I hear the
question. This conference will now be recorded.
I hear the question and I go, oh my goodness. And then the Elohim starts to come in with the answer, and it's just like being very intelligent and, oh yes, there's the answer, and it just comes through. And it's really a treasure and an honor to be able to bring that through.
How do you know you're not making it up?
Well, sometimes they use words that I never even heard of, and they use words that I don't know the meaning of, and they use them correctly, and even after hearing it, I don't know the meaning of the words. Like when somebody reads the sentence, I go, wow, I don't know if it's used in the correct way, and people say, yeah, it's used exactly right. Sometimes they use a word, like one time they used a word, and they spelled it for me, and I said, I don't know the meaning of it, and they spelled it for me and said, look it up in the dictionary after the channeling. And it was a real word. I'd never heard it before. So vocabulary is one thing, and sometimes they wish I had a better vocabulary. And sometimes they use words, or they search for words that aren't even in the English language, and then sometimes they come through with mathematics, and they say that it's beyond the comprehension of my mind to be able to know what the mathematics are. But mathematics is a language that they use.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had done a channeling for a live group in Santa Barbara.
Yes.
And you transcribed that, and you were going to read that yourself. This was where I had given a talk, and Terry came up, and this was actually the only time we ever did this. And I asked her, would the Elohim introduce themselves to this group? And they said they would. And are you ready for that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would like you to listen to this, those of you listening, and imagine at this moment that they are here right now, because I believe they are, and let that energy strike you. Go ahead, Terry.
Okay. We greet you now in the love light of the one infinite creator. We surround each and every one of you in the love light, and we will be there for you to draw on. Sense the love light around you. Feel the frequencies. This love light, which is us, projecting around you, will be available to you for sustenance, assistance, and protection. In the times that are coming, and even in the times that are here now, as you ask, so you receive. When you have a need for the highest good, do not be afraid to ask, and we will work with you. We will be there for you, and we appreciate each and every one of you. We love you more than you can possibly imagine. If you feel in any corner of your mind that you are not worthy of love, this is false, because you are very worthy of love, no matter what. And we love you and are there for you. We leave you now with a prayer that the golden love light will come to your world as more and more people like you are open to bringing it in. Adonai, we bid you good day. We leave, but we do not leave you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, we're going to close this. We have another 10 minutes, and we're going to do this process that we do, calling in of the light, where we are already doing it, but we just formalize it, and we create the group energy, invite those group souls to join with us, and then the individuals on the line will put their own particular requests for the highest good of all concerns into that light energy and let it go for manifestation. If you're listening on BBS radio, and we do these calls 7 nights a week, and you're certainly invited to join with us any night. And if you want to get the access phone number, please email Suzanne@higher-vision.org, and she'll send you the schedule and the phone number. So on that note, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies to the center of the Earth. At this moment, we join our energies in one group energy, everyone on the phone line and everyone on the internet who is free willingly choosing to allow that to occur. And we invite those group soul energies who are service to others to join with us. As we project our prayers, our positive intentions for the transformation of ourselves, for those around us, and for our planet, for the highest good of all concerned. And on that note, I'm going to unmute the line, and you may hear an echo, so just bear with me. When the line was open before, there was an echo, and there's not much I can do about that, so be patient. And okay. Suzanne, are you on the line?
Yes.
Or would you like to put something into the light?
Yes, I'd like to put my entire family into the light, and the new baby, Jubilee. Also, everyone on the line, and those that couldn't make it tonight, and those that are groping, searching, and asking for answers, that through synchronicities that they find the messages that they need to answer their questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And Sharon. Sharon, are you in Australia? Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Jackie. Are you on the line, Jackie?
Yes, thank you, Wynn. I'd like to put my father, John, in the light and everyone listening tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathy in Memphis.
Yes, I would like to put my family and my spiritual family and everyone listening tonight, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Robert.
Yes, I would like to put Carol Ann, my daughter Fiona, and my son Gavin in the light. Thank you.
Thank you. And Carol. Veronica. You know what? I'm reading the wrong list. Matt in Ohio.
Yes, thank you. I would like to put in the star seeds of the Elohim and the Ra.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Gino.
I'd like to bring to light the people in the Middle East for peace and harmony. All the people on the line and everybody who's listening, Jeff for physical healing and the people held against her will. Thank you.
Thank you. And John in Boston.
Yes, I'd like to put my father, John, my mother, Sophie, my girl, Jeannie, both of our families, everybody on the line, and everybody in the world that needs our assistance.
Thank you. And Dee in North Carolina.
Yes, Wynn. I'd like to put everyone on everyone in the hall, as well as everyone, the political leaders, I'd like to put my son Steve and his family in healing, as well as Hunter, and also my father. Thank you.
And Gary in San Diego?
Yes, I'd also like to put the world leaders in the light. Also, the troubled spots of the world, put them also in the light, and my mother in the light. Thank you.
Marianne?
Yes, I'd like to send light to my family, Crystal and her family, to everyone on the line, and to all of the animals on the planet. Thank you.
And Terry in La Cunada.
I'd like to put everyone on the line in the light, and I would like to put everyone that's reaching out for help, and I would like to put the Mideast in the light.
Thank you. Kendra?
I'd like to put my whole family in the light, and my best friend AJ. Thank you.
Okay. And Claudia?
Yes, Wynn. I would like to put my entire family, Mother Earth, Wynn, Terry, and Daphne. Thank you.
Anna in Berkeley. Are you there, Anna? Jeff in Northridge.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to put my family and friends in the light, and everybody on the call and everybody listening. Terry, Wynn, and Daphne, Gino for the sale of his house. All the planets, and especially the sun and earth, send love and light to Ra and Elohim. And I'd like to send love and light to Iraq, Israel, and the Washington, D.C. for peace, and to all the national leaders to make the proper decisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. And Wesley.
Yes, I'd like to put my family in the light, and on the line in the light. And I'd like to put all the dolphin pods in the light, those in the ocean and those on the land.
Thank you. And Diane.
Light, Terry, Wynn, and Daphne. I'd like to put all the crystal and indigo children in the light and Mother Earth.
Thank you. And Samuel.
Yes, I'd like to put myself and my entire family in the light. I'd also put my father, Wesley. And I'd also like to place Wynn, Daphne, and Terry in the light. The best of all concerned.
Thank you, Samuel. We have some more people, but I'd like to take a moment. We're going to be signing off of BBS Radio in about 2 minutes. And I wanted to give those people who are listening on BBS a moment to silently, obviously, we can't hear you, but if you're feeling this energy, please take a moment and take a circumstance in your life that you would like to send this light to, or in the world. And let this flow through you and out to the highest good of all concerns.
Sure.
So we'll take a moment of silence. I'd like to send the light to the Middle East, to Washington, D.C., to New York City, to those points that we connected with in particular during our grid meditation, the Brooklyn Bridge, the 911 site, and the United Nations, and to St. Louis, the archway there. Philadelphia, the Independence Hall. To Seattle, to Los Angeles, to Miami, to Chicago. I'd like to send the light to all these cities for the highest good of all concerns, for the healing of the grid spaces above those cities, and anchoring columns through those cities to the center of the earth for the highest good of all concerns. And on that note, I think we will say good night to everyone on BBS Radio. We'll be here next week again. And also, feel be invited to check in during the week if you're interested. And Karen, would you like to put something in the light?
In Ohio?
Yeah, Karen in Ohio.
I'd like to put everyone,
like to put
on,
everyone on the line.
And my family. And June 26th, 40. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And Wayne?
Yes, I'd like to put the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom in my community and city and state of South Carolina in the light. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we had a few people checking in while I was talking. Anyone like to say their name in the city?
Debbie in L.A.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Wynn. Hi, Matt in Ohio.
Holy Palooka.
You got it. You got it. I'd like to put everyone on the line, all our friends here and on the radio in the light, but mostly here in L.A., our poor mother Earth, who was ravaged with wildfires in Griffith Park and Catalina Island and all the fires that are raging out of control in Florida, for all the little animals and the plants and the vegetation and just the earth itself in the light. And a soul that passed, a dear friend, Paul Pritchard, I'd like to put his soul in the light for us also.
Thank you, Debbie. Anyone else? Check in while I was talking. If you're new, it's okay to be shy. And if you want, you can just say your name and your city.